Merry Christmas. Yeah, that was pretty tepid. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Okay, good morning. It seems like you're grouping together to stay warm. Is that what this is all about? This is an odd social deal here. Interesting. I did a little word search on Noel because you might not be surprised to know that I didn't know what it meant until this weekend. And it bugged me, you know, Noel. Everybody know what that means, that word means? Okay, thank you. You're making me feel better. So it's French. It's French for Christmas is all it is. And so when you see the hymn, The First Noel, it's talking about, the whole hymn is about the first Christmas. And this, we're doing a little two-song medley here to begin with. This second one by Lauren Daigle is just simply called Noel. And it's all about the original birth. And so if you'd stand with me, let's begin our worship time together.
Shall reign forevermore. Christmas. Just a few reminders here. Today is the last day for the Lottie Moon special offering. Also, January 4th is when our Awana and youth will start back up. And then January 23rd and 24th is the evangelism conference down here at Geyer Springs First Baptist Church. And then also, for y'all that didn't come on Wednesday to the skit or the play we had, there is goodie bags in the back, and as you leave, if you wouldn't mind just to grab one, or whoever's with you, grab one as well. All right.
Got an announcement. Brother Lanning, can I get you and Miss Gwen to come up to the... When I go to see Brother Lanning in his office, and someone's already in there because he's such a source of encouragement to us all. And so, you might need to start keeping the law on the board. Get more done. Thank you.
Will y'all pray with me? God, thank you for this day. Thank you for sending your son to die for us, Lord. Thank you for the reason we even celebrate Christmas, God. It's all because of Jesus, Lord. I pray for what we're about to hear, God, and everything for today, God. I pray you just bless us and bless these families that are here today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweet. My bad. Sorry.
Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lowly shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth had traveled from afar, hoping to find a child from heaven. And falling on their knees, they bowed before the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of Heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. And I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praise that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that's your due. Oh, Lord, I bring an offering.
Well, we're thrilled that you've come to the Lord's house with us today to worship on this celebration of His birth. And we're glad you brought your family with you. I told Gwen on the way down here, I said, well, if it's just me and you, it'll be me and you. I didn't know what to expect today, but we're delighted you're with us. There should be a visitor's card there in the pew in front of you. We'd like for you to fill that out and drop it in the offering plate as it comes by, and we'd have a record of your visit. We're not going to sell your name to some kind of advertising agent or anything like that, but we'd like to have a record of your visit here. Our man will come forward now to receive the morning offering, and thank you for being here. One of our men will lead us in prayer.
I think you've already heard it many times, but Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
This is our opportunity to celebrate the birth of Jesus. So, happy birthday, Jesus. This is pretty neat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us so much. We thank you, God, for your grace. We thank you for the peace. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, we especially thank you that you sent our Savior to be born, and we can celebrate it every Christmas. Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness of sins and for the great blessings that you give us. Now, Lord, I pray that you would bless this offering. Bless both the gift and the giver, and we'll give you all the praise and glory. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
And all the people said, amen. Practice that. Take your Bibles. Turn to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, are you surprised? Heard this several times by now, and you'll hear it one more time. I don't think we can say this or read this too often. When we have our Christmas with our family, we always read this passage of Scripture before it's time for us to share our gifts with one another. And I want us to see in this passage three things. The child of promise. He was promised to us through the Old Testament. Even from the very beginning of time, he was promised. The incarnation of God. Now that's a pretty good sized word for me. But it literally means that God became flesh and dwelt among us. He became. How can that be? Well, we don't understand. We can't wrap our mind around that. But he became flesh and he dwelt among us. And the scriptures tell us that we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And then finally, he's the hope of the world. He's your hope. He's my hope. He's the only hope. We can place hope in a lot of different things, and they will always prove not enough. But he will always prove enough. He's enough. It's not Jesus plus something. It's not Jesus plus your works or my works. It's Jesus plus nothing. He's your answer. He's my answer. He's the hope of the world. We're going to see that in this passage. So take your Bibles and look at Luke, the second chapter. And let's stand together. I know you've stood quite a bit, but this will be good exercise for you. Would you rather be in here or out there? It's good in here, isn't it? Yeah. Nice and brisk outside. Well, first I got to find it. Okay. Ooh. Well, it's still here. I'm so glad they didn't move it. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which is told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You may be seated. What is the meaning of Christmas? Well, it's the child of promise. It's the child of promise from prophecies of the Old Testament. And I want us to look at a few of these. The seed of the woman shall crush the head of Satan, according to Genesis 3 and verse 15. So I want you to turn with me over to the book of Genesis and look with me at Genesis 22. Now, you've got the same chance I have because I don't have it marked. Look at verse 18. Now, he's talking about the seed of Abraham here. But he says in verse 18, "And in thy seed." Now, you need to take special note of that. He doesn't say seeds. He says seed, as in one. And he says, "And in thy seed all the nations of the earth be blessed. Shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Now, turn with me over to the book of Galatians. Galatians, Ephesians, over in the New Testament. You got here, I'm kind of fumbling this morning, but yeah, that's still in the same place. In Galatians, the third chapter and verse 16, look at what it says here. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds," you remember what we just read, "and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and unto thy seed." And then he explains who the seed is. And he says, "It is Christ." This is which is Christ, thy seed, which is Christ. And so, through Abraham, the promise started over in the book of Genesis. In those early chapters, in that third chapter of Genesis, the Christ would come and he would bruise Satan's head. And then as Abraham comes on the scene, the seed of promise, and he's brought to us through that. Look at Isaiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. So just turn back a few pages to Isaiah and look at chapter 7 in Isaiah. Look down at verse 14. "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign." This is in the Old Testament. This is the child of promise, remember, in verse 14. "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." What? Is that possible? I hear folks all the time trying to explain away the virgin birth. I ran across the educational channel yesterday and is trying to disprove the Bible. And it's almost, if it wasn't so sad, it'd be funny. But trying to disprove the virgin birth, trying to disprove the Bible. If we could disprove that, well, maybe maybe we would have something else to hang on to. And this is my problem with those folks. Oh, I've got a lot of problems with them, but this is just one of the problems. If you have trouble with the virgin birth, just wait until tonight. And if the sky's clear tonight, walk out into the stars and take a gander up into the heavens. And then tell me that you don't believe in the virgin birth. My goodness, folks, the one who can speak the world into existence wouldn't have no trouble with a virgin birth. One who can raise the dead wouldn't have any trouble. The one who is going to prepare a place for us. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll return again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There's no problem with the virgin birth. We can celebrate. We don't have any trouble celebrating as Christians with the virgin birth. He is the child of promise. Now, you were in Isaiah 7:14. Did I read all of it? Did I? Some say I did, and some say I didn't. I didn't read it all. I'm going to go ahead and read it again for those of you that are in disagreement. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name. What's that next word? What? Are you listening? What's that next word? Emmanuel? Okay, I'm glad. We ought to keep those kids in here more often. Emmanuel, what is that? What is that? You drive down the road and you see a church building, and on that sign it says, Emmanuel Baptist Church. What does that mean? It means God with us. Now, I don't know if they mean God with us and not with them. But God with us. God became flesh and dwelled among us. And we have beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Move on over to Isaiah, the 11th chapter. Look at verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Who's Jesse? Who's Jesse? You know who Jesse is? What was David's father's name? Jesse. And so he comes out of the root of Jesse here. The Bible says, from a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove the equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. He's the child of promise. The meaning of Christmas is the incarnation of Christ. The creator of the universe first became an embryo and a fetus. He formed hair, fingernails, and so on. And then at the appointed time, he was born into the world. He poured himself out into the form of a man. Unbelievable. Look with me at Philippians, the second chapter, and look at verse 6. who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of a man. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. John, in John the first chapter, and those first 18 verses, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. He became flesh, which is hard for us. I can't wrap myself around that, but it's hard for us to understand. Number three, the meaning of Christmas is found in the hope of the world. Jesus was born in a world of violence and darkness and hopelessness to bring hope. What about now? What kind of world do you and I live in? Do you and I not live in a world of darkness? Do we not live in a world that is mostly without hope? A world that's trying to figure it out, but they're trying to figure out it in the wrong way. The Bible tells us that if we're without Jesus, we're without hope. In Ephesians, the second chapter, and verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ. So what's he saying here? What does he mean by this? Well, there's been a few times when I've talked to folks about their relationship to Christ, they would say, I've just always been a Christian. I've always been. My folks were, my mom, my dad, my grandma and grandpa before them. I've just always been a Christian. Well, that's not a possibility. Because in the third chapter of John, when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and asked Jesus how he could see the kingdom of God, Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, he said, how is that possible? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. He said, I'm talking to you about spiritual things, about spiritual new birth. So the person that is not born again, the person that does not know Christ as their Savior in new birth, the Bible says here that they are without hope. You probably have a birth certificate that tells when you were born, the date, the birth, your mom and dad's name, and your birth date. So there is that record, and it's pretty important in the world in which you and I live in about that record. But it's pretty important in the spiritual world about your record of new birth. Has there been a time in your life that you've asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and be your Savior? Have you been born again? And this verse here says that if you have not been, that you are without hope, that at that time you were without Christ. Listen to how it describes it. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You could change that, of course, very easy. You could trust Christ as your Savior today. You could make Him Savior of your life by asking the Lord to come into your heart and be your Savior, be born again today. And I'd urge you to do that. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, and I'll close with this, I'd like for you to look at that with me. Matthew 11. And look at verse 3. Now, this is the story of when John the Baptist was imprisoned just before they beheaded John. And John, he'd baptized Jesus. He'd heard of his fame. He knew about the Old Testament. He knew all these promises that you and I've read about here in the Old Testament. So John was in prison now, and he sent two of his disciples to Jesus and said, "Are you really the one? Or should we look for another?" And so this is Jesus' response to John the Baptist. Verse 2, "And when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." There's not another. He's the only one. Let's stand together. Matt and Monica's going to come and help us. God has sent you and me a present on Christmas. At least that's when we celebrate it. His only begotten Son, that we might have eternal life. And whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Would you trust Him today as your Savior if you've not done that? And I realize this is a different setting. You can be saved anywhere you're at. But this would be a good place to be saved. This would be a good place to give your heart and your life to Jesus. What I'm going to ask you to do is, I'm going to give this invitation, and it's for you. If you've not been saved, if you have been saved and you need to recommit your life to the Lord, you want to come and do that today. Maybe you just want to spend some time at this altar praying and seeking the Lord. Turning from your sin, turning to Jesus. I want to give you that invitation today. I'll be here. If you need to talk to me, come and talk to me. I'll tell you what, I want to make this as easy for you as I can. If you're here today and lost without Christ, I'm just going to ask you to come to me and say, Brother Lanny, I want to be saved, and I'll know what to do. I can't save you, but I know a man who can. And I'll lead you to Jesus the very best that I know. So as we sing, if you need to come today, you come.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
Sending your son down the cross for us. We thank you for sending to experience life as a human being and to prove that he is the only one that was a sinless human being. Thank you for every blessing you've given us, and give us a great day to worship you every day. In Jesus' precious name, amen.